we are the super nerdy Sailor Guardians who fight for love and justice. And this is Across the Mooniverse.
Hello and welcome to Across the Mooniverse. I'm Maddie.
I'm Mike.
And we're here recording.
Welcome, everybody.
Recording again.
And what Maddie means by that is that we already recorded this episode and it didn't record my audio at all. So it's just Maddie talking to nobody, which is what we had to work with.
Which, so, I mean, you know, not that unusual for me, but. I do have a tendency to talk to myself a lot.
So given the fact that we recorded this back, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, and then that makes this at least our third time talking about this episode.
Yes. Yeah, at least the third time. So at this point, we know this episode inside and out, and we have very strong feelings about several things.
Believe me, this episode has been well researched at this point.
Yes, yes, very much so.
I wanted to bring up something that we talked about at the end of the last episode.
Yeah.
Which is about Jadeite's demise and how it takes place in the manga versus the anime. And this is just me. This is me showboating, grandstanding, whatever you want to call it. The fact that I have read the manga. So for those of you who are interested, in the manga, Jadeite dies in the episode that we first meet Sailor Mars in the
buses.
He dies on the bus in the manga, and he's actually killed on the bus by the pen. Sailor Mercury had the pen, and they vanquish Jadeite with the pen. And then we see in the next chapter of the manga, it doesn't open with, but the first time we see the Dark Kingdom, we see Nephrite. And we see a dead Jadeite. He's like in a coffin or something.
Yeah.
And he refers to Jadeite as one of the four generals, which I don't believe that term has come up in the anime. I don't know if it ever does.
Honestly, I can't remember if it comes up in the anime, but in the manga, there's a lot more lore into who they are, Jadeite and Nephrite and all that.
Yeah. And also, he says, this is the purpose for which you were resurrected. So Jadeite was dead before any of this started. And then he was resurrected to go and get the Silver Crystal or something. Is that what they're looking for?
Ginzuisho, if you're going to be Japanese about it. Which I will, on occasion.
Which, Silver Crystal, correct?
Yeah, Silver Crystal.
Okay, very good.
I think in the original dub, it was called the Millennium Silver Crystal for some reason.
That's weird.
Yeah. Silver Millennium Crystal. One of the two. It was weird.
At any rate, so that answers it. We were a little bit unsure about what was what the deal was as far as that goes. And so I looked it up and that's what happened. Nephrite has already been introduced because in the at the beginning of that chapter, before Sailor Mars is introduced, that's when Nephrite says the reason that Jadeite fails is because he uses monsters made out of dirt.
Yes.
So we've already seen Nephrite talking to Beryl. And in the manga, Nephrite doesn't get promoted. He volunteers. He says, well, now that Jadeite's dead, I'll take it on myself to go retrieve the Silver Crystal. And Beryl's just like,
let's work for me.
And what you do, and when we get all of this energy and give it to the leader, we'll resurrect Jadeite again. It's different because in the anime, Beryl has condemned him to the
eternal sleep. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely a different way of handling Jadeite and his demise.
It's left very open-ended on whether or not he can come back in the anime. And the manga, it's like, well, we can do this, but, you know, we gotta get the energy first. So
Right.
Yeah.
So that brings it now season 1, episode 14, a new enemy appears, Nephrite's Evil Crest.
Nephrite's Evil Crest.
And I was trying to figure out what was meant by that. But what is Nephrite's Evil Crest? But when we get to it, then I'll say, this is Nephrite's Evil Crest.
Yeah. I, of course, know exactly what you're referencing. And I was like, oh, I can tell you. Oh, no, wait. We got to talk about that later. It comes up later.
All right. So what happens in this episode is it opens in what did we decide that room is? It's basically Beryl's chamber. It's her room where she receives death.
Meeting hall.
Dark senior conference.
Chamber. I don't know.
And anyway, it's got that trippy background that is constantly changing. Yeah. It's like curtains of color that are just kind of cascading down.
Yeah.
And then we hear the sound of Nephrite's voice. And he says it exactly. But Beryl says, now that you're in charge, what's your plan?
Yeah.
And then Nephrite is, you know, Jadeite spent all this time and energy gathering energy from all these different people. That's a waste. I'm going to get all the energy we need from a single person. And then Beryl says, how is that? Is that possible? So she doesn't even, we've talked about this before, but not that the audience has heard. Beryl says, is that possible? But I was thinking, well, how doesn't Beryl know? I mean, why, if energy can be just gathered from a single person, why would Beryl not know that? And you have a theory on that, right?
I do. Yeah. I can't remember what my original theory was. damn it, you put me on the spot. I don't know. Oh, I do. She's middle management.
That's right.
Yes. So my theory is that she's middle management. So you got the lackeys who are on the floor doing the thing, the 9 to 5, getting shit done. That's your Jadeite. That's your Nephrite. That's the Yoma. And then you got whoever the great leader is that we're getting on the path, that's the CEO, right? And then you got Beryl. And Beryl's there, and she's there to just manage these fools and look good for the higher-ups. So she doesn't really know what's going on. It's like, you know, when you're in a big old corporation, it's like the show Undercover Boss, if you will. Like the boss shows up and she's like, I had no idea it was so hard to do this. My gosh, I didn't even know what my employees were doing. Only Beryl doesn't give anybody tons of cash at the end. She just sentences them to eternal sleep.
Right. And the thing that I found interesting was that Jada was sentenced to eternal sleep because he failed to stop the Sailor Scouts.
Yeah.
Not because it was admitted that he had been able to collect energy. They had to give him that.
There were so many scenes of him in a void. He had to be doing something.
Exactly. So he had collected energy.
Yes.
But he had failed to stop the Sailor Scouts. Now it seems that Nephrite's only responsibility is to collect energy once again. So he's, you know, it's like, I guess when you first start the job, you can't be threatened with eternal sleep right away. You have to ease into it.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
You gotta go through the training course first so you at least have some idea, vague or otherwise, what you're doing before you get called into the boss's office and they tell you that you're underperforming.
So Beryl is, you know, she's basically, how is that even possible? And then Nephrite elaborates and he says something to the effect of, just as the stars determine an individual's destiny, so too the stars point out, because a person's energy is at, there's a moment in time for which a person's energy is at its highest, and the stars will reveal that as well. And then you hear this little tee-hee-hee-hee, this little annoying voice, and then we see this guy, he kind of enters from the top of flame, and he floats down like he's sitting on an invisible chair that is floating down into frame. He's sitting in midair with his legs crossed, and he's like, boy, somebody seems awfully confident about their plan. You know, because all that Nephrite has revealed is that he's going to consult the stars to find out when you know somebody's going to be at their highest energy.
I'm going to do some astrology, guys.
Yeah. Once Death Knight sees, what's the other guy's name?
Zoysite.
How do you say it?
Zoysite.
Yeah, he's like, what are you doing here? Which was my thought, too. Like,
there is, I mean, doing? Yeah. Zoysite just creeping.
Yeah, exactly. And how come Beryl doesn't have any control over her conference room? There's these people sitting there who just materialize and float in and start questioning the plans of your underlings. I feel
like there's always like a background audience of just a bunch of Yoma. So I feel like she runs like a really loose ship in there. Like she wants to publicly humiliate her generals so that, you know, it's like power with fear almost. She's like, yeah, no,
that makes
no,
sense. Come
yeah, get in front of all of your underlings. I'm about to chew you out. All right, great. So, you know, Zoysite probably just is like, oh, I can't wait to see this.
Right. He's like, what are you doing here? And then Zoysite says, just remember that overconfidence has been the downfall of many. So now that's twice now that he's mentioned about Nephrite's confidence.
Yeah.
Apparently that's also what he has to offer. Nephrite pretty much shuts him down right after that, and he says, I have to explore humanity's weaknesses and gather energy, and I don't need your help. You know, I don't need you for that. And at which point, Nephrite gives Zoysite a really dirty look.
Yeah.
And Zoysite's like, ooh, scary. And then disappears.
Clay. Disappears in a flurry of flower petals, it should be noted.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Good point.
It's beautiful. So I love in my notes, it says, let's talk about Zoysite. Who do we think they are? Why are they antagonizing Nephrite? Why does Nephrite have fried eggs on his shoulders? That last question has nothing to do with Zoysite, but I want to know.
Right. Yeah. But yeah. Let's talk about that. I assume he's like a brother because it seems like somebody who's closer than a coworker.
He's. They definitely have history.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Although it could just be that they were, you know, they've spent some time together in the Dark Kingdom. So I said, it's just kind of taunting him. But I think they're brothers. That's my guess at this point.
They do have that sort and of antagonistic energy.
You're going to have to explain about the eggs.
So you'll notice it in next episode, because I pointed this out to you last time too, that all of the generals have the little epaulets on their shoulders, on their uniforms. Jadeites were really simple. Nephrites look like fried eggs. Like, that is what is on his shoulders. I don't know what rank that indicates. I don't know what purpose that serves, but they are fried eggs. It's like this wiggly, like, off-white blotch, and then, like, a perfect half-dome, like, dark red, like, orangey color. It looks exactly like a fried egg.
Well, what did Jadeite have on his? It's on the arm, right? Where are the eggs located on the uniform?
Well, the epaulets are on the shoulders.
On the shoulders, Jadeite, yeah, okay, yeah.
Jadeite didn't really have anything. Jadeite just was kind of it's pretty plain.
Okay.
It's like, you know, he's the first boss, and then you know you go to the next boss, and they're a little bit fancier.
Right.
Yeah.
So Nephrite's like a major. I'm pretty sure
they're all generals.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jadeite's a 2-star general, or Nephrite's a 2-star general, or a 3-star general.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't know. If it was seafaring, then we'd have admirals as well. But
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
For sure.
200 more episodes to go. I'm sure there's plenty of time to learn how the ranking works in the Dark Kingdom.
Wait, no, I have to do math. Hold on. 186? Yeah, because this is episode 14. So 200 minus 14. Good. Yeah.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I'm good at basic math sometimes. Not going to pull up the calculator and check myself.
Okay. So this little scene between Nephrite and Beryl that gets interrupted by Zoysite ends with Beryl just saying, you know, right, I leave it to you. It's like, yeah, you know, it's okay, sure. If you think you can use astrology to figure out who's going to be at their peak energy and get all the energy we need from that one person, go for it. That's just kind of
this how is a, this is a self-starting position.
Fair enough. Then we cut to a scene where there's a group of reporters,
mm-hmm,
and they're hounding somebody. We only see her legs.
Yes,
we don't see. But they're hounding her, this mystery female, asking her about the upcoming tournament, and
yes,
if you could just give a comment, and she says, "I have to practice," and then she kind of, we see her kind of duck into a park that has tennis courts. That's the word. I'm looking for tennis courts.
Yes.
Just like the Lord song. Go down to the tennis courts and talk it up like, yeah. And so that's all we see. And then it cuts to, there's a shot of the town. And then we see that all of a sudden in the skyline of the town, we see a hillside.
Yeah,
and then we punch in a little bit on that hillside, and there's a mansion.
Yes,
and I looked at it closer this time. I no longer think it's a church.
It's definitely what a mansion.
It's a mansion that has very large windows, very tall windows. Nephrite is consulting the stars, and it's got the same kind of dreamy background as the Dark Kingdom does. That's what's seen outside the windows. I thought it was stained glass originally, because it was very colorful, but it's not. It's the same kind of dreamy waterfall of colors background.
Miasma-y weirdness, yeah.
Yeah, just I think which is meant to indicate other dimension. I think that's what that is.
I mean, you gotta be impressed by Nephrite's just intentions for flair, because Jada was always just like dark void, hand out, gathering energy in a ball in his hand. Nephrite's like, nah, go big or go home, bro. I got the company credit card.
Yeah. And so then, he's like, great, Ciron. And, the archer shoots the arrow into the Milky Way. I paid more attention this time. So I answered questions I had previously. And so that the archer shoots his arrow into the Milky Way. And Sagittarius's arrow hits, I can't say her name, Rui.
Yeah,
hits Rui. And then we see it, the image of the girl who was being hounded by the press.
Mm-hmm.
She's now in her little tennis outfit, and she's sitting there holding her tennis racket. She's the one who is going to be at her highest energy, is going to be in the upcoming dates.
Yes.
The stars have shown him that she will be at peak energy, and so that's who he's targeting to collect energy from.
Yes. Rui Sionji.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's playing tennis.
Yes.
And then we cut to Usagi and Naru. Are watching this tennis match take place, and they're cheering for
Rui. Yeah.
All right. They're cheering for Rui, and Naru says, way to go, sis.
And that throws Usagi for a loop. She's like, my best friend has lied to me my entire life.
Right. And she's like, how come you never told me this? For not telling me this, I shall punish you. Which I thought was kind
in the
of
name funny. Of the moon. Yeah.
Kind of a nod to her catchphrase when she does her opening.
Superhero persona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although that reference would be lost on Naru, because Naru's never been there to see her transform that we know of.
Well, I mean, very beginning, because, you know, they were beans jewelry shop. She was already transformed when she showed up, though. So Naru didn't see her transform, but she definitely heard the speech.
There you go.
Yeah. After that, we learned that Rui is not actually Naru's older sister. They're just extremely
Naru
close.
Explains. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're just extremely close. For friends, when they're young, Rui's mom is a frequent customer at the jewelry store. Osapi.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah. Which we, as we know from episode one, is owned by Naru's mom and not a Yoma trying to pretend to be Naru's mom.
And so Naru refers to Rui as Big Sis. That's that's the affectionate nickname, Big Sis.
Yes.
And then, we see Rui is doing quite well. She she's practicing with other students. It seems like other people roughly her age. And she defeated a male student and she's now matched up against a female student when suddenly everybody's attention is drawn to it's a red sports car.
Yes.
That looks a lot like a Ferrari Testarossa.
It very well might be. I don't know.
And I'll go ahead now, as you pointed out, the important part about this car is what?
Is that it is American style, or rather, that's how they describe it in all of the media about it. But it's driver on the left side,
right?
Versus Japanese cars, which is driver on the right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's driving an exotic sports car. That's
yes. He's got a penchant for flair.
Right. He's the opposite of the master of disguise.
Yeah.
He's picking out like a sore thumb.
He's kind of a hide in plain sight sort of guy.
Yeah. And so the other girls who are in attendance of this tennis practice they're like, oh, wait, I know who that is. He's the owner of a new company that's in town. Yeah. And Naru and Sailor Moon are both like, he's hot.
Yeah. They're like, ooh.
And
his name is...
Go ahead.
Masato Sanjoin.
Yes. Well, we find that out when he introduces himself.
Yes.
But first, he gets out of the Ferrari and he's standing outside of the tennis courts.
Yeah.
And he's dressed like he just walked out of an episode of Miami Vice, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
And so he's got the casual white sports coat over the pastel colored shirt. He's got his hands in his pockets and he just, without taking his hands out of his pockets, he jumps over it. It's got to be at least a 12, maybe 14-foot chain link fence, does a flip, and lands in the tennis courts.
Yeah, which
is impossible to do, by the way. I don't think anybody can do a front flip with their hands in their pockets.
He would put Simone Biles to shames.
And Rui calls him out and says, hey, you can't just jump into the middle of the tennis court. We don't play tennis. He pays no attention to that. And he immediately tells her, you got your weight on the wrong foot. And she's like, who are you? And that's when he introduces himself. And he says that he's a tennis coach.
Yes.
And then he demands the racket from her opponent. He says, give me your racket. So the girl that Rui is playing against hands him her racket.
Mm-hmm.
And tells Rui to serve to him. So she serves to him, and he returns the serve. It blisters past at Rui so fast that she hurts her hand trying to return it. She's not able to return it because the ball is going so fast. And so she's impressed by that. And he walks up to her and he says, I can help you. Her racket, when she tried to return the serve, her racket got knocked out of her hand. It's laying on the ground. And he reaches down and touches the racket, at which point he says, oh, monster, make Rui's energy, make it increase and then gather it all up, something like that. He puts an enchantment on it, and there's a little symbol that goes in the bottom of the racket. That's his crest. That's Nephrite's evil crest.
What? It's definitely not.
Okay.
Name drop, roll credits. That's the end of the episode.
That's it. But don't you think that's something you might not find people crest?
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah.
Okay.
That is, of course, you know.
I was just being facetious, or that I had missed what was clearly the crest.
But also at the same time, Sailor Moon is known for its some double meanings and things of that nature. Lots of Japanese media, they love their puns and their double meanings.
Right, I've always wondered that because there's puns that come up later on in this episode, they're tennis puns. They're based on tennis.
Yeah.
And so I wonder how that would work because I guess we'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay.
We could talk about it then to see if it would be the same in Japanese or not. Maybe you can answer that with giving your knowledge of the language. So we'll have to see about that.
I can say typically, just as a preface to that before we get there, typically they have to edit the puns. They try and make them as similar as possible.
Okay.
Understood.
Yeah. So then I have a note here about, he didn't mention anything about this to Beryl. This seems to be a crucial part of his plan that he has enchanted this racket to basically boost her energy.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the stars that told him that her energy was going to be at its greatest. Now all of a sudden he's put an enchantment on her racket and that's going to boost her energy? So I don't know.
It's like when you are like, it's like a funnel.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the only way I can think to describe it. It's just like, you know, yeah, it's her energy is going to be at her its peak here, but we want to concentrate it into one place so that I can consume it for the Dark Kingdom. So it's kind of like a catalyst, if you will.
Okay, I'm half buying that because he also says to the racket. He says about the racket. Mm-hmm. The more you use that, the more she uses that, the greater her energy will become. So it's based on, you know, the longer she uses the racket, that's going to increase her energy. But apparently that's how it's going to happen. So, and then we start to see some of that happen because all of a sudden, Ruby picks up the racket and she is up against her next opponent. Apparently the girl lost out after she handed the racket.
Yeah. She's just like, I'm done, I guess.
I'm out of here. Yeah. I got to my racket. I'm like, he's lame.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. And the young man who has now stepped in to be her opponent says, okay, but take it easy on me. And she does not. She's now over her eyes, kind of gloss over, and she, you know, she serves, and it's a blistering serve, so much so that it leaves a hole in the bottom, and it put a crater in the court.
Yeah.
So the racket has definitely gotten a buff.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's now plus one racket of slaying.
And then she thanks Nephrite.
Yes.
But he has disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got other shit to do.
Well, I mean, clearly the whole driving the Ferrari and the front flip over the fence was to distract her he needed her to drop that racket so he could have a chance to touch it and put the enchantment on it. And
I mean,
once that was done, he had no need to stick around.
Yeah, he's like, placed the time bomb. All right, time to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So this scene ends with Rui saying, this feels great. So she notices a difference in how she feels. It can't simply be because she now put her weight behind the ball, as he instructs her to do. And then Naru is like, I don't know about this. Something doesn't seem right.
She looks real concerned. She's just like, this is not how sis acts.
Right.
You guess you could say she's being suspicious.
Suspicious. What were you saying about that, Vance, just a minute ago?
I learned from the best.
All right, go ahead. You go ahead and set us up for the next scene. What happens next?
My notes are now that they're talking at the shrine. Is that where your notes are?
No, the next thing is Luna is at
yes.
Yeah, Luna's at the...
I put notes in here.
At the Sailor B game.
Yes. I don't know why I didn't note that.
Checking in with HQ. Which, by the way, I don't know if it's ever said out loud, but my subtitles... I credit the voice of headquarters as Artemis. So that I have had a note about that Do you know anything about that? Why are they calling that voice Artemis? Is that the name of the person she's talking to?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
And I believe Artemis is Apollo's sister in mythology. And she's the huntress. Is she also is she connected to the moon somehow?
Artemis? She might be.
Okay. Because Apollo's the sun god, so I thought maybe Artemis was had some affinity for the moon.
Hold on. I'm getting the intern.
Look that up, would you?
Yeah, I'm getting the intern.
Very good. Doing this at the Sailor V video game. It's an arcade style, but it's a stand-up video game. But she's communicating with HQ.
Yes.
And HQ lets Luna know that they've uncovered some information on the enemy. And they know that the Dark Kingdom is gathering energy, but they don't know to what end. They just know that they're gathering energy. And Luna says, are you certain? Artemis very emphatically is like, yes, of course. Like, why would we question our intel?
You know
what I mean? Yeah. And so it's pretty brief.
Yeah.
Luna finds out that that's what they're up to. That's what's going on. The Dark Kingdom is gathering energy.
Yes.
That's the intel. Which you would think that by now, with everything that's happened, that they could have kind of guessed that that's what had been going on with all these different plots and schemes of Jadeites that they've foiled.
You would think.
They could put that together on their own.
I mean, up until recently, it was just, I mean, Amy could. Amichan could. Ray could probably, given enough time. I don't know about Usagi.
Usagi, maybe not. Yeah, exactly.
I love her to bits, but I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we cut to, what do you call the temple? What's the name of the temple?
It's called Hikari Shrine.
Hikari Shrine, okay.
Hikari, yeah.
Which is where Ray works as a attendant. And she lives there. But her grandfather?
Yes, her grandfather.
Who's kind of a kooky character.
He is a bit kooky, yes.
Yeah. And they're discussing what Luna has just found out, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Ray is like, let's go get him. And we gotta stop this from happening.
Yeah.
And Ami's like, wait a minute, we're not prepared for that. For that, we have to train and study. We have to, you know.
We don't even know the enemy. This is a new person. Yeah.
This, as opposed to the previous episode where Usagi said, I'm scared and don't want to do it.
Yeah.
when it came time for them to decide what their next move was going to be. This time she pipes up with, hey, I have an idea. Let's train by playing tennis. Because there's this really cute tennis instructor. And we can go train with him.
Yeah, he's really cute. His name is Masato. He's really great.
Right.
And then Luna once again takes the opportunity to be mean to Usagi.
Well, somebody says to Usagi, what about Tuxedo Mask?
Yeah.
All of a sudden you got eyes for this tennis instructor. What happened to Tuxedo Mask? And Usagi's kind of like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, him. Of course.
And then Luna says, Usagi, I'm so glad that Mars and Mercury are here, because if it was up to you, all of humanity's energy would have been drained by now.
Yeah. Which, I mean, she's just a middle schooler. Come on. Junior high.
You know how I feel about Luna's constant criticism of Usagi. And this is just another, it was harsh. It was very harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Somebody else thought so too, because Ami steps in and says, I think you guys are being too hard on her.
Yeah.
Which was nice to see. Yeah, it was nice to see somebody come to her defense for once.
Yeah. And Usagi definitely appreciated it as well. And it was like, let's go train in tennis, Ami. Let's do it. And then Ami's like, I can't. I have cram school.
So never mind that it's a half baked idea that as far as training to fight the Dark Kingdom goes.
Yeah.
I don't really see how the two correlate. But she won't let it go. She's like, after she gets made fun of, you know, for having two crushes at once.
Yeah.
And then she gets shamed, saying that if she was the only Sailor Scout, that humanity's energy would have been drained by now. She's still, I love that she's still like, wait, who wants to go play tennis?
She's ever the optimist, Usagi. the intern got back to us. In ancient Greek religion and mythology, Artemis is the goddess of the hunt, the wilderness, wild animals, nature, vegetation, childbirth, care of children, and chastity. In later times, she was identified with Selene, the personification of the moon.
Okay.
There so you
I, was
go.
Right, I was right that there was some sort of affinity for the moon. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Ooh.
Yeah. So then I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, so it's like I said, she wants to, let's go play tennis. And
yeah.
Bobby says if she has to go to cram school, right?
Yeah.
And then I believe it cuts to they're at Naru's house. That Usagi's at Naru's house, and Naru's serving her tea, and she says, thanks for coming over.
Yeah, there's a brief scene before that where shows Rui just getting really intense about tennis and just being like, next, I need to play someone who's actually good. And Naru's just like, I'm really, really, really worried. So she, of course, calls on bestie Usagi-chan.
And she says, "Big, she's never acted like this before." And Usagi's like, well, don't you think maybe it's just her getting pumped up for the upcoming tournament? And Naru says, that's what I thought at first. But this seems different. And then it cuts to a flashback sequence of them when they're little, of Naru and Rui when they're little. And Big Sister's kind of looking out for her. And then they're little and they're playing tennis. And then at the end of the flashback sequence, we see it's current times. Naru is approaching Big Sister. We don't see what she says. We see Rui says, this doesn't concern you.
Yeah.
Go away. Something like that.
Yeah.
Leave me alone or something like that.
Naru is crushed.
Right. But that's her reasoning for saying that. She's never acted like this. She's never been mean to me like that before. I mean, she's really is genuinely mean. And it's like what I was thinking of is like an after school special when someone in middle school starts drinking or doing drugs and their friend comes to them with a concern. It's like none of your business.
Yeah.
Her behavior has changed, basically.
I know what's best for me.
Yeah, exactly. And so Naru is concerned. And she doesn't know what to make of it, but Usagi has the idea for them to go investigate, for them to go dig further. But she says to herself, depending on what we find, maybe this will be my chance to show the other scouts that I'm worth it. I deserve to be part of a team, kind of thing. So they're going to investigate on their own. She's not involving Mars or Mercury in the investigation. She's going to go with Naru. And check it out.
She's like, I'm gonna figure this out. I don't need them. They're mean. Except for
Abby. So then they go back to the tennis courts.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still being a taskmaster.
And, yes, she is.
And Naru goes up to her and is like, is everything okay with you? You know, why are you being like this? And Rui just kind of blows her off, and then Sailor Moon steps up and speaks for Naru and says, she's just concerned about you.
Yeah.
And Rui blows up then, and she tells her, shut up! Go away! Yeah. And it's at that moment, all of a sudden, that's her moment of peak energy, evidently. Mm-hmm. Because then we see Nephrite summons the Yola that is part of the enchantment of the racket. So the Yola is part of the spell. So then Rui's racket all of a sudden has a little moment of transformation itself, and it transforms into the Yoma, which is that of a female, kind of a female athlete, we'll say.
And her name is Tenzi.
And does that mean something in Japanese?
It's just a reconfiguring of the letters for tennis. In Japanese, which is unsurprisingly tennis. So.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Isn't that called an anagram?
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sometimes my brain doesn't do the words.
So it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have it's not a word in Japanese. It's an anagram for tennis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a recurring theme in Sailor Moon that a lot of the Oma have sort of like self-referential names or punny names.
So then the Yoma serves a fireball basically.
Yeah.
Towards Usagi and Naru, and knocks them into the bushes.
Yeah.
And it's at that point, so then they get knocked into the bushes, but Sailor Moon has enough time to move prism power makeup.
Yeah.
And she transforms, which I just actually had a lot of time because the Yoma only had one servitor. You know what I mean? That was kind of weird. Anyway, she transforms. We get to see the transformation as we talked about in the previous episode. We won't go over that again.
Yes.
I can see 20 minutes talking about her transformation, but I still love it. It's still great.
It's beautiful.
And so she dodges. She's a peppered with fireballs.
Yes.
After she transforms, she's like, "Hey, what if one of those hits me?" Which I thought was great. It's like, I think that's kind of the point. I think that's why they're coming.
That's the goal, Usagi.
She does get hit by one.
Yeah.
And she turns into a tennis ball. So that she becomes this giant tennis ball with just Usagi's head and her hands and her feet sticking out.
Yeah. It's very koosh ball animal.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. I was thinking of Violet from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Just hands and feet and a head and then a big round ball. And so she's, the Yoma is batting her, I don't know what the term is, hitting her with the racket and knocking her all over the court.
Yeah.
At which point, Usagi says to herself, says out loud, maybe I should have included the other two. obviously meaning Mercury and Mars.
Hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah. So the Yoma's getting the best of her at this point.
Yeah.
And Naruto is apparently unconscious. Was not unconscious when she went in the bushes. Because we're not sure what happened to her.
It is what it is. I mean, that's the standard bystander trope, you know? Oh, they're fine. They're just unconscious over there.
Right. Exactly. All of a sudden, all of a sudden, the Yoma takes a rose to the face. And guess what? Why did that happen, man? Why did a rose suddenly hit the Yoma in the face?
Oh, because it's Bay.
That's right. Tuxedo Mask shows up.
Tuxedo coming. Be still my heart.
And he doesn't really say much to her, I don't think. But then she serves a ball at him. He dodges it. I remember now. He dodges it. Mm-hmm. And after he dodges it, he jumps in the air as part of the dodge. And in midair, his little cane that he carries with him suddenly extends.
It's extendo cane.
It's extendo cane. Probably he extends to 5, 6, 7 times its normal length.
Mm-hmm.
And knocks the Yoma down.
Yeah.
And then he lands. And then he goes, and then when the Yoma gets knocked down, her spell on Usagi is broken, and
yes.
Usagi's no longer a tennis ball.
Yes.
And Tuxedo Mask says, "Stay on guard," right? Is that what he says?
I believe so.
He says, "Stay on guard."
Yeah.
And then the Yoma, gets back on her feet, starts serving fireballs at them again.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabs Usagi and jumps up into the air. So he's holding her in midair. And he says, "We're going to finish this match together." Oh, before that, Usagi says, "Oh, I'm so excited because I get to fight side by side with Tuxedo Mask." That's right. And then he says, "We're going to finish this match together." And so he lets go of Usagi. In midair, and then he tosses another rose at the Yoma's face.
Yes.
Tell me, I may have the order mixed up a little bit, but something happens when he lands. and he's hurt. It's evident that he's hurt. And she's like, oh, Usagi's like, oh no, are you okay? And he's just like, use your tiara. You know, you gotta
do the thing.
Do the thing, basically, right?
don't ruin this chance I've gotten you. I've been injured.
Right, yeah. Don't worry about me. Use your tiara.
Yeah, and I'll be fine. Just do the thing.
So we get moon tiara action. Woo-hoo. And she spins around like she's getting ready to throw the discus.
Mm-hmm.
And she throws it, but it topples. That's all I'm going to say is that why can't she get that thing to just fly straight and hit its target? I don't know. She needs a little tiara practice is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a skill issue.
So it topples and it does an air burst. And you don't even see it hit the Yoma. It does an air burst and the Yoma is destroyed.
Yep.
The Yoma is no more. And then who runs up just in time to miss the play?
Mercury and Mars.
Mars and Mercury. Yeah, just in time.
They're here. Hi, guys. Thanks for showing up. Jeez, where have you been?
And then they remark that she's finally proven, you know, she can fight. She's finally, showed up for the fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's see. What other notes do I have here? Okay. So back to, we missed the moment of the pun that I was going to bring up.
Oh, yes.
So when Sailor Moon transforms, after she transforms, after she moves prison power makeup, that's when she says to the Yoma that she can't score an ace. Monsters can't score an ace. Even Nabutaloba would be upset. And then at one point is when I believe it's when Tuxedo Mask says something. The Yoma says, "Serves you right." You know, you like so, and you know, obviously you serve in tennis. So that's the part. So that's the thing is, I was wondering if the word that they use in because in a tennis match in the Japanese language, do they call hitting the first hitting of the ball? Is that the same thing as serving someone a beverage? Because that's how the word is used. You know what I mean? That's how it's in English. The serve is used as both serving up the first hitting the ball the first time. So I just wondered if that pun was only in the you know done in the English translation.
Well, I know as far as the subtitles are concerned, that's what it said in Japanese. I've switched from Japanese from learning Japanese to learning Spanish because it serves me slightly better in my current job.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm a little rusty on my
in North America. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm a little rusty on my Japanese. So it doesn't stop me from commenting on anime that Joe is watching and be like, I know what they're saying there. I'm not watching the anime with you, but I know what's going on.
So the episode ends with it's later, it's the next day or maybe several days later, but we see Naru and Usagi at the back of the tennis courts, and Rui is playing tennis once again, but is kind of chilled out. She's no longer all worked up.
She's playing
under the influence of the possessed racket.
Yeah.
And Naru says to Usagi, basically, yeah, Rui doesn't remember anything about the last few days. How convenient is that?
How nice.
Usagi's just like, well, as long as she's doing fine now, none of that really matters. All that stuff doesn't matter. Being dismissive of, you know, of the fact that, once again, does Naru know that Usagi is Sailor Moon? Does she? I mean, she hasn't said anything. She hasn't.
She
has her suspicions.
I feel like it's a very, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer sort of vibe, where, like, it's a known, it's a known secret that freaky shit happens, and this one particular person always shows up to save the day.
Right.
And Naru, I think, is probably, like, probably has some inkling, because, she's been saved by Usagi / Sailor Moon how many times now to Usagi says things that are related to Sailor Moon, which, you know, as we've discussed with Sailor V, Sailor Moon might, there might be reports or like videos or whatever of conflicts between her and enemies. Who knows? There weren't smartphones back then, but, you know, news reports, things like that. Stuff happens.
Well, and the thing about this is that when Usagi transforms into Sailor Moon, her face doesn't change. You know, it's still...
It's kind of, I feel like that's kind of like Clark Kent logic.
Right.
Also like magic. It's one of, I always look at it as the reason they don't know that Sailor Moon is Usagi, even though they look the exact fucking same, is because the only reason they look exactly the same is because it's easier for the viewer.
Right.
Yeah. So in the live-action Sailor Moon adaptation, Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, which is amazing and horrible all at the same time, the girl who plays Usagi is not wandering around in a blonde wig the whole time. She's got black hair. She looks like a normal, typical Japanese schoolgirl.
Okay.
So when she transforms, that's when they give her the crazy hair and all of that stuff. And so she changes more drastically in the live action, which I feel like is closer to what reality would be.
Yeah, that hair is pretty impractical to be fighting Yoma.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. I mean, those, I don't know what you call those. They're her little pigtails that flare out and go almost to the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's old enough to have hair that long.
Well, I have things to say on that, but I can't say them.
Okay. You save them for later?
Yes. Yeah. They come up later.
Okay. Her
hair comes up later. So.
So Haru was like, boy, isn't it weird? Big Sis doesn't remember anything about the last few days. And Usagi's like, yeah, that is weird. Well, no, that stuff matters.
Yeah.
All that matters is that she's back to her own self. And Rui calls out to Naru, hey, Naru, do you want to play tennis?
Yeah.
And, of course, now that Big Sis is back here to be in her own self, Naru accepts.
Because, you know, she's not going to get murderated.
Right. when you join a game with Rui, it was Naru's serve, and Naru serves it straight into Sailor Moon's face. Blind guy. Sailor Moon gets hit in the face and then falls out of frame. And then Naru calls out, get yourself together. That was so funny because it's like, after she obviously, her serve didn't land where she wanted it to at all. It was a wild serve straight into Usagi's face. And then she tells Usagi to pull herself together.
It's true. I just love the fact that this show very frequently ends in like little goofy gags like that. Where it's just like, lovable Usagi.
That's it for this episode. So it was a fail for Death Right because as far as I can tell, he gathered no energy. That energy got dissipated.
He did worse than Jadeite on Jadeite's first go around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. No energy was gathered. And certainly, I don't believe that they got any further in finding the Silver Crystal.
No, they didn't. No.
So, all right, well, that's it for this episode. Yeah. And so next episode, we find out Rhea's date.
Yes. I'm so excited for this one. This is fun.
Rhea has a date, and someone asks
Rhea's first date.
And some in the teaser for it, someone is questioning Sailor Moon. She's like, are you jealous? And Usagi is like offended.
Yeah.
at the question.
Don't tell me how to live my life. Yes, this is a good one. I'm very excited to talk about it.
Yeah, it should be fun. As I recall, it's got some good stuff in it. So.
Yes.
All right, everyone. That's it. Right. Man, you want to talk about social media real quick? Say goodnight.
As always, you guys can find us everywhere. We're on X or Twitter, because that's what I still call it. X is a stupid name. Facebook as MooneyCast. And, of course, you can go to our website, which is acrossthemooniverse.castos.com. And we will be there. every other Monday, I think, is our new uploading schedule. So.
We're going to try to stick to it.
Yes. It gives us time to be able to edit and not kill ourselves in the process.
Exactly.
Yay.
All right, happy moon day, everybody.
Thanks, everyone, for joining, and happy moon day. Good night, all.